This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:02 on your Thursday. I've got a frog in my throat, Bear. I don't know what happened right before the show. Yeah, I had like a coughing fit. I don't know if it's something in here. Something that set
no telling, brother.
Allergies off.
Apparently allergic person.
Trying to clear it out.
A good growl going. I'm growling today.
You're growling?
Yeah.
Give me a growl, Miller. Growl for me. Whoa. Wow, that was horrifying.
Kind of throaty there.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad. Very, very throaty growl. Yeah, I've been growling since, about 11:30 when Trey answered my text in our group.
Oh, freaking brutal, dude. Brutal. Isaiah Nayor, I think this kid's a player, man. I'm not going to do the thing we sometimes do where it's like, oh, we didn't want him anyway. Probably not that good.
We absolutely wanted him.
Texas. They played us, man. They stole our bacon. They stole our biscuits. They stole our cookies.
Man.
Oh.
Drank it.
Right in front of us.
Yeah. Worse yet, they backwashed on it a little bit, too, and then set it back down and looked at us and smiled.
It's not like they walked up in our kitchen, made a sandwich, and threw the cheese wrapper on the floor. They took our sandwich and they, like, mailed the cheese wrapper back. Josh Heupel opened it in his office. He's like, what's this damn cheese wrapper? And they're like, we took your wide receiver. We took your stud. It's an outrage.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've reached a crisis point this afternoon with all this stuff.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, I never in a million years thought it would happen, Russell.
It's the NIL stuff, isn't it?
It's the NIL stuff. When you couple that, we've got a perfect storm. The NIL, when you combine it with the transfer portal, with immediate eligibility, with absolutely no regulations and no guidance from any kind of authority, and you've got what we've got now, which is just complete and total anarchy. But for the first time, I never thought it would happen.
We're too scared to play.
I'm finding myself becoming just disengaging from college football.
Oh, stop. No, you're
I'm
not.
Serious,
no,
man.
You're not. Well, you'll be back. Stop. Get out of here. The all that stuff is fine. The anarchy is fine. It'd be okay if we weren't in the midst of an NCAA investigation. And it's weird because we have, on one hand, it's good timing because the NCAA is about to change and we're not going to get hammered like we would have 20 years ago. But on the other hand, it's horrible timing because everybody else is spending like drunken sailors at the party. It's like, oh, yeah, you want NIL? Here you go, $50,000 a year for offensive linemen. And our guys are over there, well, we can't do that. We can't do that because we have an investigation going on and we have to do things the right way. We got to do it the right way. And everybody else doesn't give a damn about the right way. And Tennessee's getting left behind, man. But in both football and basketball, bro, we're getting left in the dust right now.
Only got one guy signed. I think maybe two for next year's basketball class. But this goes back to what Adam Sparks said the other day about how everybody's going to use NIL as just a recruiting tool. A lot of these upperclassmen aren't going to get any money. And something I was thinking about as well, None of this money is like contracted. None of it's on paper. It's just a promise. Hey, we're going to give you X amount of dollars just to sign with Texas, to sign with Texas A&M, whoever it may be. Nothing is on paper.
Yeah, I mean, it's complete and total anarchy. So that's what I'm saying.
I don't know,
and
man.
Texas and Texas A&M are money whipping. I mean, they're throwing that oil money around.
I don't want to get too.
You throw some of our oil money
that'll
around.
Be too alarmist, man. Like, you're still going to field a team. It might be okay. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be okay. It might not. I mean, it might be over. It might be a disaster. I don't know, but it's not.
I'm not even so much about Tennessee. It just the overall state of college athletics. It's just a sham, man.
It's been that way. It's just out in the light now. And the only thing that sucks for Tennessee, and the reason we're in our feelings, is because we're not in the game with everybody else. Because of all the Pruitt stuff, we're trying to toe the line and be good little boys and girls, and nobody gives a damn about any of that anymore, which is fine. That's the way it always has been. It always has been about the money. But now it's blatantly about the money. Nobody even tries to hide it. And it's just terrible timing for Tennessee to be playing the Boy Scout role right now.
No, we don't need to be doing that.
Come on, Isaiah New York, come over to Tennessee. We're gonna showcase you. You're gonna catch 60 balls next year, 70 balls. You're gonna catch 10 touchdowns. You're gonna be an NFL draft prospect. To hell with all that. Show me the money. That's what these kids are thinking. I want the money only, now.
The only thing I will say about Nayor is he is from Arlington. And he probably had Texas or A&M recruited him when he was a two-star out of high school. He probably wouldn't have gone to Wyoming. I wasn't very worried about Ole Miss. But as soon as I heard that he was taking, you know, that he was down in Austin, I just, honest to God, I assumed that he was going to flip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not shocking. I mean, when the guy commits to you and he takes two visits after his commitment, really three visits counting the one he took to your school. I mean, it was just weird. The whole thing was weird, right? He visits mm-hmm. USC and then he commits to Tennessee right after his USC visit without having visited Knoxville. He'd never been here. And then he visits Ole Miss after he commits here and you're like, WTF? And then he visits Knoxville and things kind of settle down. You're like, okay, we got him. We weathered the storm. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to squeeze in a visit to Texas. Wait a minute. You basically committed to us twice and you're visiting Texas? You ain't committed.
Not to mention, he was in a student portal.
Yeah. He was
He had basically registered for classes.
Yeah.
Here's something else. Jared on Twitter just pointed out.
What's up?
Just to rub salt in the wound. He's probably going to be in the stands cheering against us next weekend when we go down there to play Texas. Flies out of bounds on a crazy play and jacks his jaw for him. Whoa, is that too far?
I mean, I don't care.
I don't want him to pull his toothbrush out or anything like you do.
But it's not. It's not about vengeance. Like, I get it, okay? He's from Texas. He probably grew up a Longhorn fan. Certainly grew up hearing more about the Longhorns than he did about the Vols. And they probably laid out a really convincing NIL package for him this mm-hmm. weekend.
That they may or may not honor.
So, I get they probably will honor it. It's Texas, man. They'll find a couple grand in their couch to throw at him. Like, I get it. I probably would have made the same decision. I'm just... It just really sucks that Tennessee is not playing in this game. And I know the folks at Spire are doing their thing and they're trying to get in the game, but we ain't in the game like that, man. I know they're not sitting over there twiddling their thumbs, but they're trying to catch up in a marathon and we're like you know, the Texas and Texas A&M and Alabama and everybody else are like the Kenyan sprinters that grew up like running barefoot in the mountains at 20,000 feet, and we're like the dude from Nebraska who's trying to run the marathon. We're trying to catch up with those guys.
Well, then we need to be the guy that pops out at the end in the minivan and wins the race.
That's what. No, yeah, we need to be the gal that veered off course, went in an alley, called an Uber, and then like met up with everybody right before the finish line. That's what you're right, Jake. We need an Uber.
We need something, but you know what. I heard Jake mention, you know, we've got oil money. There's a difference. There's oil money, and then there's Texas oil money.
This is true.
And you can look at the endowments in both universities, and I mean, they've got. I mean, it's just a whole nother level that. What maybe, you know, a handful of other schools can compete with.
I mean,
maybe Alabama, and that's just because everybody in the state of Alabama. All pulls in the same direction constantly about their program.
Keep hearing, the state run types are saying, oh no, Tennessee's not behind in this. They're not behind. They're doing their thing. All I know is all the players are going elsewhere.
I mean,
all I know is Rick Barnes, who's been tearing it up on the recruiting trail pre-INL, NIL. As soon as NIL was introduced, he's over. He can't get anybody to come here. And it ain't because he's lazy, okay? It's because the packages that Kentucky and others are offering are bigger. And Josh Heupel is struggling too. The next five-star guy that signs here will be the first under him, and they're all going elsewhere. That's all I know. I don't know. Granted, I'm not there. When Spire is making their pitches, I don't know exactly how much money they have. I haven't sat in on proposal one. All I know is where the players are going. And guess what?
They ain't coming here.
They ain't coming here.
Everybody invest in Sheba. Get it up to $1 a share. And I'll pledge $250 million of my earnings across all sports in year one.
Yeah, that's a good plan, Jake.
That is a good plan.
All right, it's not all doom and gloom here. We're going to find a silver lining for you because that's what we do. And if not, we'll just talk about Cracker Barrel and Waffle House for 3 hours. Folks, we have a big show lined up this afternoon. Coming up in just a moment, Christopher Gabriel will join the fray. We'll get his thoughts on all this stuff with Isaiah Nayor and more. And then in hour number two, young up-and-comer Anthony Vitello. Never heard of him. We'll see what he has to say coming up, hour number two on the show. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, back with more right after this. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, standing by. Christopher, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, how the heck are you? 59 degrees here in Fresno. It's finally warmed up. We had a bad bout of winter here. It was in the low 40s.
Oh.
And, you know, now, of course, I kid because I care. You know I'm a Midwesterner, so I spent 5 years in Fargo, North Dakota, a great, great place, but many days the high temperature was 20 below. Not the windshield. The actual temperature, the windshield will get to 50 and 60 below. When you can hear your eyelids blinking, you know it's cold, boys.
Now, off topic here, Chris, but you always talk about Fargo. It just struck me. The Coen Brothers classic, I know you're a movie guy too. Like, Fargo, how close to real life is that?
How close is Knoxville to Los Angeles?
Not very.
Nothing like Fargo. I'll just tell you, you know, I talk about Fargo a lot. It's a special place to me. It's like Knoxville to me. Fargo was home and will always in many ways be home for me. Knoxville is like going home because I've been going there since I was a kid. Fargo, what a lot of people don't realize is the metropolitan area of Fargo has over 200,000 people. They have a professional ballet company, a symphony orchestra, an opera. It's the home of North Dakota State. It's also the home of a vibrant music and comedy scene. The historic Fargo Theater, which they have one of the great mid-level film festivals in the world, the Fargo Film Festival. I've been a juror on that film festival. It's a great place if you like to fish, if you like going to lakes. You've got pretty much everything you need there. But, yeah, you know, the price that you pay, boys, is that you pay for it in the winter.
Yeah, but do they have a Cracker Barrel?
You know what? There's Cracker Barrels in Minnesota, and they're not far from there.
Okay.
Nothing I enjoy more than doing a little shopping in Cracker Barrel, getting some soup and a sandwich, and then sitting out in one of the rocking chairs and hopefully finding somebody to talk a little Vol sports with. But you guys, you know, you guys are, in my view, are salt of the earth. And I would love sometime to take you to a North Dakota State football game because, seriously, boys, outside of Neyland Stadium and three or four other places, and you've heard the guys on ESPN, that is one of the truly great environments for college football.
Oh, I'd love to go see a game there sometime. And Christopher Gabriel of KMJ Fresno with us this afternoon on the show. And Christopher, we're procrastinating the Tennessee football. Vols got dealt a rough blow today. Isaiah Nayor, I know you've been following this, the highly touted wide receiver. This kid was spectacular at Wyoming. I believe he's the third highest rated transfer portal prospect in the country, according to 247 Sports. He had committed to Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, Christopher, continues to take visits, and just here at the last minute today, just hours ago, up and committing to, says he has signed with Texas, a highly touted receiver stolen out from under Josh Heupel. And it just seems like for all the success that Josh Heupel has had connecting with the fan base, putting forth an exciting offense to win, Christopher, he's still struggling to close these deals on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, you know, whenever I hear of a recruit and he says that he has committed to such and such school, and then I hear that he's taken a few more visits, I immediately put that commitment in the garbage can. Because if you are committed, you know, you don't propose to a woman, at least I don't think so, and then suddenly say, hold on a second, I got three other dates I need to go on, and then I'm going to get back to you, sweetheart. We'll figure it out. I covered him in the Mountain West, saw him play against Fresno State, saw him play four other times this year. It's not like I was seeking out Wyoming games, but it just happened that that's what was coming on, and he's a special player. That kid can flat out play. You know, Josh Heupel, there's a couple of different ways to look at this guy. On the one hand, he's not closed a couple of deals. On the other hand, he's gotten a couple of late additions in, you know, during the early signing period. He's gotten a couple of other recruits to come through the transfer portal. And I think when you start looking around the country and you look at places like Texas, and I'll stop at Texas for a second. I don't know what Sarkisian is telling people, telling these recruits, but he's pulled this a couple of times. He's pulled a couple of kids out of the hat. I say kids, you know what I'm saying. And I think NIL has a lot to do with it, but I also really believe right now, and I've talked to a couple of coaches, that there's some serious negative recruiting going on against Tennessee, and they are throwing the net that says NCAA probation, NCAA violations over the specter of coming to Knoxville. I think that's playing a role here, but to take this where I was going to go, it's very easy because, you know, you guys, myself, all of your great audience, and hello to everybody in East Tennessee and beyond in the Southeast. You know, we all follow Tennessee, and it's easy to get dialed in to the Vol successes and failures and wannabe moments and wannabe great moments, and we forget that this is happening everywhere else. We'll look at during the season. We'll see the Vols getting injured, key players getting injured, and my first reaction is always, God, geez, doesn't this happen to anybody else? Well, yeah, it does. It happens to everybody else, and it goes in an ebb and flow. Some teams get hit worse some years than others, but what happened today with him committing, you know, dumping the Vols and going to Texas wouldn't surprise me if we see him do it one more time, maybe with another team. How many times have we seen Vol commit, decommit, and then suddenly they reopen and maybe they find their way back? Guys, this is happening with schools all over the West Coast. It's happened with Oregon, with UCLA, with USC, with Arizona State, with Utah. It's happened at Fresno State. This is not unusual. But what stinks, really, for all of us who love the Vols, is that this kid, I just imagine the 1-2 combination of him and Hooker, as well as Tillman and Hooker. So that's where it hurts.
All right, Christopher, as a great bedside manner. Bear, is he calming you down? Any? I mean, I'm being told we were very alarmist first segment.
You know, Christopher, I'm not even, I think Russ may have misunderstood what I'm worked up about. It's not so much, I mean, I am upset about losing Isaiah Neyor to Texas. It was going to be a huge weapon for us. I am more upset about the state of college athletics right now with, you know, this perfect storm of NIL being completely unregulated, the transfer portal, and immediate eligibility.
Yeah, you know, and that to me is issue 1A, and Bear, I'm with you on that. I like the fact that players are able to move about the cabin when the seatbelt light is off now. The problem is, and you hit the word, regulation. There is no regulation of this right now. I really think that college players for years needed to have a viable route to going somewhere when a coach bags out on them. And the one that comes to mind all the time, and I'm gonna roll this back to your point, Bear, is Willie Taggart. Because when Willie Taggart was in Eugene, the man wasn't there a year. And the area, the community, Oregon Duck Nation, they totally bought into him. And he had just, you know, had another early signing period, recruiting period, and then boom, what happens? He's off and going to Florida State, doesn't coach the team in the bowl game, and he left the community high and dry, and there were a number of recruits that basically were stuck. And this has happened, obviously, dozens and dozens of times. So going back to your point, Bear, this is a problem. It's a legitimate problem. I want players to have this flexibility, but they are also jerking around coaches and coaching staffs and, quite frankly, livelihoods of coaches and their assistant coaches, their families, because we are all waiting on the whims of 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, what they're going to do. And they have this newfound power, and it's almost like they're put on a throne and there's no rules. They run the kingdom. It's almost like when Henry V or Richard III or Richard II were sitting on the English throne, and the rules were only the rules because they made them, and when they didn't like a rule, they changed them because there was nobody that was going to change them unless they killed them. Sorry for the roll down the Shakespearean road, but the point is there is desperate need here to get this regulated. I agree with you, Bear, that this is just happening too much. They need to have a window. Maybe it's 3 weeks. Maybe it's a month. I don't know what it is. I'm glad I'm not the one in the room doing it. But they need to have a period of time where players can enter the portal, do what they want to do, dance around, bounce back and forth. And then once that commitment is done and that window closes, that's it. They can't keep jerking head coaches, their staff, and everybody involved with the school around. I'm totally in agreement with you there.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, with us this afternoon on the show. Christopher, switching gears over to Tennessee basketball. I know you're a big Rick Barnes guy. I'm a big Rick Barnes guy. We love Rick Barnes. But I found this number staggering. Since Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield left campus a couple of seasons ago, Tennessee is 22-19, I believe, in SEC play since those two left. Has the Rick Barnes era peaked in Knoxville?
So I'm going to answer this question first with, I guess, a question, and that is, how long has Rick been in Knoxville? Six, seven years?
I believe this is year seven.
Yeah, so I remember when Steve Spurrier was leaving Florida, and he said the amount of time that a coach should be at a university – no matter the success level, yep, is no more than a dozen years. But within the comment, he was basing that on having a lot of success, because the longer you stayed and the more success you had, the bigger the fall you were having. I am a Rick Barnes guy as well, as you said, but I'll admit, guys, I have some concerns, and I'm looking at the year so far, and what I've seen this year, and we could talk about other years, but let's just stick with the year that we're looking at right now. I'm seeing a lot of inconsistencies in terms of back-to-back games. You know, Villanova, a disaster. Then they play the next day against North Carolina. They look like a different team. They play Arizona. They look pretty darn good start to finish. They play Alabama on the road. Yeah, they're minus a couple of guys, but they weren't able to close the deal. Ole Miss and LSU, a solid effort against Ole Miss. 3 days later, just a poor performance against LSU. And then, even the South Carolina-Kentucky-Vandy sort of quadrant. South Carolina, they put them away without any problems. Kentucky was an embarrassment. And then they take care of Vanderbilt. And I know that a lot of people came at me on Twitter saying, going with the standard line. Well, Rick Barnes isn't, he's not out there making the baskets. Don't blame Rick Barnes. You got to blame the players. Yeah, I get that. But a successful company starts at the top. The tone is set at the top. Whether it's a radio station, whether it's an accounting firm, a legal firm, whether it's a sports team, it starts at the top. And I'm looking at Tennessee, and I pulled these numbers in front of me. And the Vols right now, across the board, they're kind of middle of the pack, right?
Yeah.
Middle of the pack in the standings. Middle of the pack in field goal percentage. Middle of the pack in points per game. They're kind of average. Yeah, they've got a good record. I mean, they've got a decent record. They're going to make the NCAA tournament. They're 12-5, 3-3 in the conference. But I guess this is a long-winded response to say, I wonder sometimes if what we're seeing with Rick Barnes, and I'm not being flippant, fellas, when I watch Tennessee play basketball, I feel like I'm watching Jeremy Pruitt football. I feel like I'm watching a team that looks stuck in mud. I'm looking at a team that's got a lot of terrific athletes, and they're getting used extensively at the defensive end. They are almost getting worn out. I will hear Rick Barnes talk about players that were there and are there for offensive production, and he'll say, well, we got some good defense out of Howell tonight. Well, that's great, but he's there. Yeah, you have to play defense, but he is there to fill it up. And I'm not a coach. I was a player. I'm not a coach. I've never been a coach. I'm not an analyst. But when I see this team play, they look stuck in mud on offense. There's no rotation. There's no slashing. There's no skip passes. There's no penetration. Kennedy Chandler should be taking over games, and he's not. Ziegler has been a godsend, and I feel like he's not getting used enough. I guess when I see this team perform, I wonder, fellas, and I wonder what you think, is it possible? I'm just speculating that Danny White is seeing the kind of excitement that Josh Heupel has brought to the football program, and he needs a little bit. Tim Banks needs a dose of Rick Barnes' defense, but we see the direction that Tennessee football is going, and it's a damn good direction. But is Danny White sitting around the Neil and Thompson Sports Center, and is he saying, Rick Barnes is a great coach. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a class act. He's a great ambassador for this university. But, I think that we should look a little bit more, when we're playing out there, we should look a little bit more like Auburn. We should look, a little bit more like an LSU in terms of, pushing the ball on court. We should look a little bit more like fill in the blank, a team that is pushing the ball, getting out in transition, and using the athletes that they have recruited to their best ability. Guys, I just don't see that right now.
Talking with Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Christopher, let's end on this. Big announcement yesterday. Tennessee and Washington will be playing a two-game series later on to close out the decade. For Tennessee fans looking that far ahead, I guess 8 years until 2030 when the Volunteers head to Seattle. Tennessee fans thinking about making that trip. You're on the West Coast. Anything we should know about a trip to Washington?
Yes. Because I went to USC, I have been to Husky Stadium many times.
Okay.
And Fresno State played at Husky Stadium a couple of years ago. Husky Stadium, like Neyland Stadium, one of the two college football stadiums in America that can be accessed by water. At Husky Stadium, you take a boat up from downtown Seattle. You come into Lake Washington, you park at the shore, and you have about a 200-yard walk to the stadium. Husky Stadium is one of the truly magical, magnificent venues in all of college football. They just renovated it about 3 years ago. The seats go straight up. There are giant steel cantilever rooftops that go over to the sideline of each side of the field. It is deafening. The decibels have gotten as high as 128 there. 128. It is a loud place, a program that has great history, great fans. Fans are going to, if you've never been to Seattle, it is a tremendous place. You've never had seafood until you go to Seattle. It is
really?
It's a very welcoming place. If you like coffee, a lot of great coffee places. I love this matchup. I wish it wasn't so far ahead, though. I wish we had more of these a little bit sooner. But fans going out there are going to have a great time. It's a very welcoming crowd. It's a, you know, it's a festive crowd. It's a loud crowd.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully the drive is still revved up and rolling in 2030. And if there's a way, we'll be out there. Hard to imagine 10 years down the road, though. We did have somebody want us to ask you, Christopher, since Isaiah Nayor is no longer coming here. Brew McCoy is a name that has been bandied about. I know he's in the transfer portal, a five-star prospect. I mean, this guy has packed a lot into 2 or 3 years, Chris. Went to USC, went to Texas, didn't like it, came back to USC, got in some trouble, has not been on the field that much. Can you tell us anything about him and whether or not that's a road Tennessee should consider going down?
Yeah, he's an interesting dude. You know, he's about 6'3", 6'4", right in that area, 220, 225. He's a really talented player. The word about him is that it's two things. Number one, he can play, but, you know, is his head going to be in the right place? That's what I have heard from everybody that I've spoken to about him. I don't know. I mean, you know, there were people out here who said that about Velus Jones too, and we saw the results of him in Knoxville. I don't know. At this point, guys, I would at least take a look at him. I mean, what harm do they have in taking a look at him? Because obviously, losing Nair today, I mean, they've got to fill that spot somehow. I mean, what's the talk there? Is it someone that Heupel's actually looking at seriously?
I don't know. Christopher, that at this point, if they would just turn anybody down out of hand, but I mean, like, Rush is covering. There's so many questions that would have to be answered about, you know, the stuff that went on this past summer with the girlfriend and.
Right. And that's what forget my interruption. That's what I was saying about speaking to where his head's at. You know, and here's a guy who enrolled at USC, and then he said, no, you know what, a couple of weeks later, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go to Texas. I'm going to go there instead. And then he transfers back to USC, and you just wonder, am I dealing with somebody, would we potentially be dealing with somebody who is going to be, you know, looking for the next best thing, even getting on campus, which is what he did at SC, and then suddenly says, I think, you know what, it's time for me to leave. So, the athletic talent is there. I'm just worried about the kid's head.
Christopher, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for stopping by. We will do it again soon. Oh, man, enjoy that balmy, what do you say, about 50 degrees outside in Fresno right now?
It's 59, but there is a chilly breeze.
chilly breeze. Come on, man. It's 30 here with a feels like of 21.
Well, yeah, that's why we need to go to Fargo in, like, late November. But real quickly, fellas, did I see that Tony V is coming on?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that this is the third? I don't know, because I noticed some. I felt like one guy was writing back to you saying, like, yeah, Gabriel's coming on. But what about Tony V? This is the third time that I have been the appetizer for Tony V. Let me just be real clear on this. I am delighted to be the appetizer, the opening act for the man himself. Please give him my best from California, because I am a big college baseball fan. That, to me, that is the sport that I have really been looking forward to this year, to see what Tony V does with this squad this year. I don't think that a trip to the College World Series is by any means out of the question, and maybe they go much further when they get there.
Well, you know how we do on sports radio, Chris. We nitpick with all Josh Heupel's problems, all Rick Barnes's problems. They're doing pretty good, but we all got problems, right? We don't have to worry about Tony Vitello right now.
No.
That man's problems are small.
No. He is the guy that, you know, the proverbial you want to go into battle with, you want to be in a foxhole with, and if I'm a player, I love having a coach who is going to run through a friggin' wall for me, or if some other coach or a player is giving him some lip from the other dugout like we saw with LSU last year, Tony's going to be like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. What'd you say?
His favorite line was hurled at Your boy over at Fresno, whoever's there, his first year here, there was some yapping going back and forth at Lindsey Nelson, and Tony Vitello uttered a line that we quote often here, which is, coach your team, meat stick.
I've actually heard you mention that, and I just want, is that even on a t-shirt yet?
It should be. I don't know why it's not. Coach your team, meat stick.
It absolutely should be.
Chris, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
It's always my pleasure, fellas. Yep. Have a great one.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, at CG Program on Twitter. You got to be following him if you're not already, folks. Hop on there. Give him a follow. We got to get caught up here. Quick timeout. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in this afternoon, 546-8200. Back with more after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Christopher Gabriel has left the building, ladies and gentlemen. Another stellar appearance. Bear, what did you learn?
That Christopher Gabriel is probably every bit as nutty about Tennessee basketball as, you know, all of us.
What's his story? I know he's told it before, but I've slept. He was recruited a little bit by Mears, wasn't he? Or maybe DeVoe?
Who's that?
It was back when we were still playing in Stokely, so it could be.
Ray Mears.
Is he that old?
Let's see if it's Stokely. Well, I guess maybe. DeVoe did coach at Stokely.
Right towards the end.
I'm trying to think of how much older, like, I think there's the same, about the same gap between me and, I don't know. Chris looks awful young. I know he's a few years older than me.
He's taking good care of himself. He ain't lived hard like you.
Still got that high energy.
He's a
He does.
He's a former varsity athlete.
He's zero. He gives zero. You know what? I mean, he'll tell you exactly what he's thinking.
I think he's spot on too with his take on Barnes. Like it's good. It's solid. It's good. It's better than average. It's not bad. Basketball that we're watching right now. It's not bad. It's just I wouldn't agree that it's Jeremy Pruitt football level. I mean, it's better than that, but it's
that's
just
the only thing I can't go there with my buddy.
It's
on
not
that one.
It's not if you watched LSU and Alabama last night. It's not that we're not on that level. We're not playing that.
But his take on Kennedy Chandler was spot on. He needs to be taking over games, and he's not. And that Zakai Ziegler is godsend. We look like we're running in the mud.
I mean, it's the same thing we're all saying. I mean, it's the exact same. It's the same thing that, you know, Phil's kind of been stuck in a rut on. And, you know, as far as just it's frustration, like the Vanderbilt game, that was an incredibly frustrating game to watch when we were on offense.
But, you know,
I mean,
were
you two not in a state of high anxiety that whole night?
Yes.
Yeah, but I wasn't surprised because I thought it was going to be a battle. I'm not claiming to be clairvoyant or anything, but I kind of felt like that was what it was going to be. I mean, the Grant Admiral team like needed a miracle to win down there. It's very rarely do you just walk in there and roll them like I think they did last year. But I mean, you look at, you know, Kentucky goes on the road and was fortunate to escape from Texas A&M last night. The league is tough. The league is good.
Well, Texas A&M's got a good basketball team this year.
I think they're okay. I think Tennessee's better. We should beat them.
We'll find out.
So there's that. The Nayor thing has, I mean, that was a gut punch. That's a gut punch. I don't know if they're going to go down the Brew McCoy road. I think they're just kind of. Here's the thing. They've got a big junior day this weekend, and they're finally caught up now, right? I mean, this time last year, I think the coaching search was going on right now. Heupel's going to get here in a week or so.
I think Danny White just got hired or was getting hired the next day.
They're just in scramble mode trying to get their feet under them. What's going on with this investigation? Who can we hire? Who can't we hire? What do we have? And now they kind of know who they're going to recruit this next cycle, and they're bringing some guys in. But Chris is right. I mean, they're getting killed with negative recruiting because of the NCAA stuff, and then they're fighting this battle on this new landscape with one arm tied behind their back. because everybody else is throwing around NIL money like drunken sailors, and Tennessee's trying to play the Boy Scout thing. Oh, we don't want to. We do things the right way. Well, you're the only ones. You and Vanderbilt. And I get it, man. It's a tough spot. Josh Heupel has his marching orders, and he can do what he can do, and he can't do what he can't do. And I just feel like he's not playing with a full deck of cards right now. Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. We will be talking to Tony Vitello coming up here in about half an hour. Head baseball coach will join us. We will play jam or not a jam with Coach V. Folks, NFL playoffs this weekend. Each win means that much more. That's why FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional round of the playoffs. That means you can bet $5 and win $150 on any team, any divisional game this weekend. If you want to bet on my Titans, you can do that. The Pack, the Bucks, whoever your heart desires, the Rams, if you want to go Chiefs over the Bills, or if you want to pick one of the underdogs, hey, it's your prerogative, Bobby Brown. You do it the way you want to do it. Just sign up with FanDuel Sportsbook using our promo code DRIVE1. Make a deposit and claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel. Simple, easy to use, safe, secure, and when you win, they'll pay you your winnings in as little as just 2 hours. If you're already on FanDuel, they're hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend's going to get $50 too. Don't miss this great chance to win $150 on just a $5 bet. Again, promo code DRIVE1 when you sign up so they know we sent you. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager and designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users. Fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Let's say hello to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive.
What are you saying, W?
Philly.
How you barring Jake Snake doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, I guess I'm going to start with this player who left in the middle of the night. Or
he
whatever.
Left Josh Heupel at the altar. He's standing there in his tux, all ready to go. He's got his vows memorized, a beautiful ring, and Nayor left him there. Phil, it's an outrage.
Well, I hate it. I mean, I hope Heupel can make it. The thing is you talked about the hand behind, tied behind the back and this, that, and the other, and then we're self-imposing all these scholarships. I don't see how you can rebuild a program doing that. Everybody else is not doing it. I mean, look at LSU and Auburn and basketball. They're going high, you know, going strong right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's It's the way the game is played right now, and you better get in it or you better have some other plan right now. And, I know Tennessee doesn't look like they're in it, and I don't know that they have a backup plan right now, Phil, which is disturbing.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid about their leadership down there, and our athletic director, I heard some stuff about the fans wanted to meet him down there in the after the game, and he snubbed them, and, you know.
After what game?
The Vanderbilt basketball game over in Nashville.
Tennessee fans wanted to take pictures or something with Danny White?
Well, not exactly that, but Danny White is not very personable at all. And I haven't liked calling any of these athletic directors we've had, but at least some of them were got out there and thank the fans and stuff. And get out and mingle with them. So, you know, I mean, Tennessee put, 4,000 fans in Vandy's Arena? I'd be out there thanking them for coming.
Well,
I think he would. I mean, was he I don't understand what he was. Did he refuse to even talk to Tennessee fans, or did he not want to take selfies with them? Or, I mean, what are we talking about?
I heard it on another show. You can get tape and hear it if you want to. But
the thing Danny White's got he's in a tough spot because he's got to go and solicit all this money, and Tennessee's behind on its fundraising. And meanwhile, he's building these additions to the stadium, and he's got to figure out a way to keep Tony Vitello happy on the baseball facilities. He's got to do those things, but these donors are sitting around. And I think a lot of just not even big money donors, but just regular guys who make a small donation or something, all of a sudden they're looking at this news today and say, wait a minute, I don't care about the party deck at Neyland Stadium. I don't care about the double-decker thing in the outfield. We need players. I'm going to give my money to this Spire group so that they can go out there and get NIL deals so we can get players.
Yeah, that's what I agree with that. And you talk about Rick Barnes, before we get off here, that was a good win. I'll take the win over Kennedy anytime. But you look, Tennessee's about middle of the pack talent-wise in the SEC after watching these basketball games. Alabama and LSU and Auburn and Kentucky, they have more talent than Tennessee does right now. And it's Rick Barnes' fault for not recruiting. They've had some.
I mean, he had a hell. I mean, Russell had a really good point without even realizing it in the first segment. Rick Barnes was on pace last year to sign a phenomenal class, and that changed in an eye blink when NIL went into effect because we weren't ready to offer. I mean, because then immediately within a week. You saw the kid. I can't remember which kid it is. It's Simon Kentucky. Hey, he's sitting there in a high definition picture next to his beautiful. I mean, I don't know how much a Porsche SUV costs, but yeah. I guarantee it's north of $100,000.
I understand that, but the last 2 years there was no NIL, and we got our butt burned. We didn't get what we needed, especially inside. I mean, I've been telling you guys, we're not recruiting good players. And not only that, we don't get guys that can shoot the basketball. That's what our problem is. We can't put the ball in the hole.
I feel you, Phil. The only thing, and I don't want to argue with you, but we're arguing semantics here. They are recruiting. It's not lazy. They're trying. They're recruiting the same guys everybody else is recruiting. They're just not landing them, and I think it comes down to money at the end. And this gets back to where Tennessee's a little bit behind on some of this NIL-type stuff. But we'll see if they can catch up. And, I mean, you have to, or you're just going to get even more left behind, and
well,
you're going
to lose. The tournament, though. You got to get to the tournament regardless this year. I mean,
you're going to the tournament. I mean, that's you're not worried about that, are you?
Really?
Well, I mean, we could be. We'll not go.
Oh, that would be a disaster.
I mean, the wheels would have to fall off in the next 2 weeks before I'd even begin to contemplate not making the tournament. I mean, no, you're exactly right. We are not at the same level as those four you mentioned.
Philly, we got to run.
Definitely right behind them.
I appreciate it. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.